This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Just words I was saying. I was playing you for a fool, breaking love's precious rule. I did you so wrong. Guess you knew all along.
Well, it was supposed to be about celebrating the Judds as they were inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. But over the weekend, Naomi Judd took her life. She was iconic, an American singer and actress. So her daughter, Winona, was there. And Ashley Judd, after what had happened, there weren't a lot of details released, but they felt like they needed to make that appearance and stand up for their mother. And wow. Here it is, May, the month of mental health awareness, and this country music legend committed suicide. They are still investigating it, but it is definite. She was an outspoken advocate for mental health awareness. People, please, if you need help, reach out. There are multiple ways to do that. But it is a very tough thing in dealing with the brain. Trust me, I know from so many people around me that I care about and so much that I see around me, the battles that people wage. And even when they try things and get help, they need kindness, they need compassion. And this is very, very sad. The one thing her death does, which makes no sense, is once again, it raises that awareness and takes your breath away of, wow, this was a duo that performed for decades, and they had just 3 weeks ago done a performance. They were also going to perform on a 10-date, almost sold-out arena tour called the Final Tour. It was supposed to start in September, and in their career together, daughter and mother, Winona and Naomi, 14 number one hits on the country music charts, especially between 83 and 91. So being inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame had to be so bittersweet for daughter Winona and Ashley, who were tearful and tried to speak and did a fine job in a heartbreaking situation. My name is Kate Delaney. Thanks for joining us here on this show. We start off with heartbreak and talk about suicide. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. Call it if you have one of those moments. Everybody has one of those moments. But when it's really bad and you cannot snap, you cannot take one more moment. Please get help. The other thing that is being talked about, what I would call the water cooler buzz in your backyard and mine, is the Supreme Court. It looks like they are going to strike down Roe v. Wade if the leak is correct. The document written by Justice Sam Alito says the landmark ruling that for nearly 50 years has guaranteed a constitutional right to abortion was egregiously wrong from the start. That's what's come out. I saw it on Politico, the bits and finer pieces of this. What will the decision ultimately mean? It could mean that it still is up to the states as to what they're banning, if they're banning it completely, or there are different timelines for pregnancy of where they say this is when life starts. So the The thing that has divided the nation once again in the spotlight, but in a different direction. That is 50 years that was part of what, you know, where you had pro-life and you had pro-choice and battling it out. You had a jammed protests whenever there's elections and whenever that becomes the overwhelming topic, and it has been lately. So this decision has been leaked, and we'll see. The court hasn't said anything yet about it, but from my understanding, it's still, the gist of it will go back to the states to make their decisions. So this is a new frontier for the anti-abortion movement. And for the pro-choice movement, it is something completely different as well. And I think we're going to see more protests and clashes and conversation. And this is going to be a big part of what happens to those that are running. One of the issues is absolutely unavoidable, because I think a lot of times politicians try to step around it. They're not going to be able to step around it in these midterm elections. We're having an unofficial poll here on this show, as we are want to do. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Your thoughts on this 50-year overturn of Roe v. Wade? What say you, America? And this is absolutely the conversation. This is absolutely what is being talked about. A few sports things I feel compelled to throw in here as we're going to go to the man cave. So many of you always ask, where's the man cave? Are you going to do a man cave segment? We have to lighten the load, as I say on this show. You know, there's so much heavy around us. But if we look at the NBA, we had a couple of first rounders, East semifinals and West semifinal games. So the Heat beat the 76ers 106-92. How about that? And that was a home game for them, first game. First game in this series, the Suns beat the Mavericks 121-114, despite the superstar for Dallas, the point guard Luka Doncic, with 45 points. It wasn't enough. One man cannot carry a team. Cannot carry a team. And the Kentucky Derby is coming up this weekend. We'll talk about it later this week, but odds and positions for the Derby. Derby is a slice of Americana. People who are not sports fans, I think, even will check in on the Derby. Maybe they'll even put a little wager, a fun wager with a friend. There's some interesting horses. I like a long shot. Oh, and this is a long shot. Happy Jack, 30-1. Happy Jack. A lot of times I'll just look because I like the name of a horse or the colorings of a horse, even though I have all the statistics on the horses. I have family members who had horses in the Derby. I had a cousin who had a great horse in the Derby. Smarty Jones almost won the Triple Crown, won two legs of it. So the Derby is a very big deal to my family. It might be something fun that you do, Derby Day. Like I said, we'll be talking about it in the Man Cave upcoming later this week. Coming up next, though, we go to Poland for a conversation with my pal Greg Stevan, who was Ukraine-bound over the weekend. What did he find out? What does he know that you need to know? We're talking to him next.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You've even seen it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Conversation with Greg Stebbin. Greg, thanks as always for coming on the show and giving us the scoop on what you've seen as you have boots on the ground, so to speak. And you were in the Ukraine. You went to the Ukraine-Poland border, and it's interesting. Paint us sort of the picture of what you've seen and what you saw over the weekend.
Well, I'm gonna tell you about some things, and you have to be careful to draw conclusions based on what I'm about to describe. So I did go to the Poland border. I did cross over into Ukraine. I did this twice actually over the last 2 days. And what's really striking today is there are very few people at this border crossing, which was one of the most significant ones 2 months ago. There are very few people coming over from Ukraine, and I've been there, I'd say, almost every hour. I've been there at night. I've been there in the middle of the day. What is also interesting is there are actually more people going back into Ukraine than there are people coming out. And the reason I say you have to view this information with a bit of caution is it doesn't mean that there won't be periods where there are large numbers of refugees again. It's just that right now, things are pretty quiet. Why? Because the fighting, I think, is isolated, but that, of course, could change. And the other thing that I understand is many of the original refugees have found that it's difficult to find work, it's difficult to find housing, and because Russia has begun to be more focused in the areas where they're fighting, people are feeling that, you know what, it's actually better to go home and pick up my previous life to the degree that I can, with the hope that the fighting doesn't begin to spread across the country again.
Ooh, how interesting is that? I like what you said there, too. You can draw your own conclusions or not draw any conclusions, but it's your observations. if the fighting ramps up in certain areas, that could change, because you know that map has shifted. So I assume that might be some of it, too, that's probably part of what you're seeing.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, because I think it's a statement about the war itself and how long it could last.
Mm.
But in a way, the refugee situation has become kind of institutionalized. I think if you look at the people who are leaving Ukraine now, and I'm really just speculating, you know, this is my observation, it's not scientific, but I think now even the people who are leaving, they understand now what the journey is going to be like once they get to the border. You know, the trip to the border could be very dangerous. It depends on where they're coming from. But I'm sure they know from friends and family who have already made the trip, once you get to the border, this is going to happen. They're going to feed you. They're going to put you on a bus or a train. They're going to send you here. They're going to feed you again. They're going to provide you with housing. So I would imagine there's a higher level of trust and a lower level of fear. That's a good thing. I think that means that people can travel without this sort of overwhelming sense of the unknown about what's going to happen next. I think it's sad because it when things get institutionalized, it means they tend to get normalized. And my fear has always been, and you and I have talked about this, that this war just goes on and on and on, and that the rest of us kind of forget about it. And that's a signal to Vladimir Putin that they're not paying attention anymore. Let's really ramp it up. We have to keep paying attention because these are still real people fleeing for their lives.
Absolutely. Well said. And that area that you're talking about, is that the Medica crossing?
That's exactly right. On one side of the border, it's Medica. It's been one of the major, it's Medica. It's been one of the major crossing points. And, you know, today, if you were to, let me draw a comparison here too, because this is really interesting. If you were to walk across the border, it might take you 10 minutes to get across the border either way. There'd be a short line to go through passport control, and then boom, you'd be on the other side. What's interesting is, if you want to drive across the border from Poland back into Ukraine, I'm guessing it's more than a 24-hour wait. There is a line of cars kilometers long, and not just cars, trucks towing brand new cars, and literal auto transports towing multiple cars into Ukraine. And I've spoke to various people about why there are so many new cars being towed into Ukraine, nice cars, expensive cars. And I've come up with one of two explanations. One is that so many cars have been destroyed in the fighting that Ukrainians need more cars. I'm not sure that makes sense. If I'm in the middle of the war, I'm not going to replace my old car with a brand new car, because there's a good chance the new car is going to get destroyed too. There may be some kind of, the second explanation is there may be some kind of EU or other kind of duty-free or tax benefit to taking a car into Ukraine and then selling it from there. I can't understand any other explanation for dragging all these cars into Ukraine, and I can't imagine that there's a big market for them right there. But it points to a larger thing, which is it's part of the normalization of the war. Now business people are looking at Ukraine and saying, huh, how can I make money from these circumstances? And again, I think that normalization plays into the benefit of Putin's hand, and I don't want to give him any benefit of anything at all.
No. And one of the things that you've been doing that's wonderful is the money that you're raising for ambulances for Ukraine. What is that like, and how's that been going?
Well, it's going great. We're working with an organization called BE for Ukraine. BE stands for Belgium. And this is a group of Belgians who came together at once the invasion happened. This is an organization that didn't even exist 2 months ago. Yet in that short period of time, they, and with our help and the help of lots of others, they've raised over $1 million, which is largely going towards buying new ambulances for Ukraine. Well, why ambulances? Because unlike how we think of the use of an ambulance, which is for transport, you know, you're sick or you have a car accident and it takes you to the hospital, in Ukraine, the ambulances are being used as mobile hospitals. So right there on the battleground, you're injured and you don't have to go to a hospital. Right there near you is an ambulance serving as a mobile hospital to care for you. Of course, the Russians know this too. So one of the things they're doing is systematically destroying ambulances. So BE for Ukraine and other organizations like it are trying to replace those ambulances as quickly as they get destroyed. And I was actually with the BE for Ukraine team about a week and a half ago. They were delivering six brand new ambulances into Ukraine. I saw the ambulances. They're beautiful. One of the things that's interesting is these ambulances cost $55,000, but they're stuffed with $25,000 or $30,000 worth of donated medical supplies. So the value to Ukraine is more like $80,000 or $85,000. And all this money is being raised by people like you and I, Kate. And if you want to donate, we've set up a real easy-to-get-to website. It's, you know, the organization I'm with is called Beams. You go to beams.live, it's beamz.live/ambulance, and you can donate there. And every dollar we collect goes towards those ambulances because we want to help the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian army in every way that we can.
Love it. And you're still doing that show every day. That's at beams.live.
That's right. I am doing a show every day on the situation here, beams.live. And we've had some amazing guests from Ukraine, from Poland, even from the U.S. And you really get a sense, particularly from the Ukrainian guests, about what it's like over there for regular people like us. I interviewed a woman from the Odessa Humanitarian Volunteer Center last week. This is just a group of volunteers that came together since the invasion, and they're literally making things like body armor. And these are not people that ever made body armor before, or they're making sleeping bags. You know, the woman I was talking with is like a business executive. She doesn't have a job anymore. She needs to support the Ukrainian army. So she's learned how to make sleeping bags, and now she's managing other people making sleeping bags. And she was telling us in the course of the interview, you know, life has returned to some level of normal in Odessa, but it's still being shelled. So she was telling us one night she was driving to meet some friends at a restaurant from dinner and thinking, how glorious is it that, you know, we could sort of return to normal life and eat in a restaurant and meet friends. And there was some kind of shelling right behind her car as she was driving to the restaurant. And she thought to herself, what do I do? And she realized, there's nothing I can do. I should just keep driving and go have dinner with my friend. If I'm going to die today, I'm going to die today. That's the state of things in Odessa.
Wow, wow. Well, stay safe, my friend. Thank you for the wonderful things that you're doing and jumping on the air with us as well. Greg Stebbin, take care.
Thank you, Kate. It's great to be here.
And check them out, beams.live. Beams.live. Wow, just wonderful to hear the stories to get you a sense of, yeah, let's just go to dinner because we're being shelled. Wow.
Seven million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
A Ukrainian official tells the Washington Post that about 200 civilians, including 20 children, remain at the steel plant in Mariupol, where Ukrainian soldiers continue to refuse Russian demands to surrender. Civilians started to evacuate the plant over the weekend, this woman speaking to NBC News.
There were 40 of us, this woman says. We boiled two buckets of soup, and that was our meal for the whole day.
Some of the civilians left for Ukrainian-controlled territory. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov on Italian television not only repeated the false portrayal of his country invading Ukraine, he also suggested Hitler was Jewish. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, among the many who condemned the remarks.
They tap into the very old and very poisonous notion that the Jewish people themselves were the architects of the worst human atrocities of modern history, even when they were aimed at Jews themselves. Mr. Foreign Minister, you're fooling no one.
This is USA Radio News. Almost two-thirds of workers at an Amazon warehouse on Staten Island, New York, rejected a union bid. The Amazon Labor Union is weighing whether or not to challenge the results. It scored a surprising victory at a nearby facility. An Oklahoma judge is allowing a lawsuit seeking reparations for the survivors and descendants of victims of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre to proceed. The suit was filed in 2020 under the state's public nuisance law. Vice President Kamala Harris has tested negative for COVID-19 nearly a week after testing positive for the virus. Her press secretary, Kirsten Allen, says Harris was prescribed the antiviral treatment Paxlovid. CDC guidelines say people can leave isolation on the sixth day after testing positive as long as they wear a mask around others. Allen said the vice president would do so for another few days. A late rally by big tech erased a slump on Wall Street Monday. The Dow rose 84 points. The Nasdaq gained 201 points. The S&P 500 added 23. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
As we sit here in the man cave, did you watch every single moment of the draft? No, you didn't. You DVR'd it. So, seventh round, 262, that's when he was picked. Brock Purdy, last in the draft, the quarterback from Iowa State. I love it. I hope he does super, super well. Every once in a while, you get some of those lower choices that rise up. And I love this kid, actually, having watched him play. And he got picked up by the 49ers. So a couple of quick things about the draft. You look at how many Big 12 players were chosen. The Big 12 had 25 players taken off the board between rounds 2 through 7. Iowa State running back Breece Hall was the first to hear his name called in the conference. And then I just mentioned Brock Purdy, who was the last. Isn't that interesting? Oklahoma led the conference with 7 players drafted. Baylor behind the Sooners with 5 of their own. West Virginia, Texas, TCU, also the only Big 12 programs that didn't have a player drafted. So interesting what happened in this draft, and there's so many things we could talk about in looking at the draft and looking at the relevancy of some of these players and what's going to happen when they try to climb into the pros. Some of them will, I think, be contributors right away, especially the higher round picks, but not necessarily just the higher round picks, because often it depends on what a team needs, which we know. How many times did so many coaches that I covered in the NFL say to me that they didn't want to use that cliche, but it depends on injuries. depends on so many other factors as to who could be moved in what direction. Nobody wants any injuries, but it's just a fact of living with the NFL that that happens. And we all know by now, and I'm sure you all know this, but just in case you don't, who was chosen number one in the draft? A kid I really like, Trayvon Walker, defensive end, 6'5", 272 pounds. Jacksonville got a really, really great player. Bulk, strength, just pass rush on strength and explosion. And there's so many ways I think he can develop. And he's a very strong tackler. And here's the thing, the wingspan, baby. He's got the wingspan. So it's interesting. There was rumors that he might not go first, but I thought, come on, you got to take him. He's made to go there. And if I'm Jacksonville and I can look across the board and look at different needs, I would have to go in that direction. A player that I really liked and wanted to see quarterback-wise where he went, because people were talking about quarterbacks. Where are the first quarterbacks going to be chosen? Well, you have to go all the way down to guess who? Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett was chosen at 20 in the first round. And you look at him, he's an accurate passer. He's pretty fast. He's got good timing. He can scramble. I like the quarterbacks that get out of the pocket and scramble if they have to make something happen. So it is an interesting kind of pick for the Steelers. But, you know, we know what happened with the Steelers, and they're down quarterback-wise. So to me, he may be someone that gets at least a few looks, that may get some touches and should have an interesting camp anyway. Let's put it that way. As we get closer to camp, we'll talk about more of the teams, go a little bit deeper in depth, try to see if we can do a preview in the man cave. Because I know some of you are saying, well, what about my team? What about this team? There's 32 different teams. But we're in the middle of the playoffs in the NBA. So, hey, I got to tell you what's happening in the playoffs. The playoffs have been pretty interesting. This is the time, I'm sorry, pro basketball can be so boring during the regular season. To look and see and check in is fine. But we already told you about the Mavericks and the Suns. And then you look at, you know, the Heat and the 76ers. And you look at, you know, these are the beginnings, the game ones. And then we talked about this. And you look at game twos. So on Tuesday, you have the Bucks and the Celts. And Milwaukee leads that series 1-0. And then you look at the Grizzlies, and the Memphis Grizzlies lead that series. They picked up the first game against the Warriors. Morant, that point guard out of Memphis, has been so fun to watch. And he, I think, is going to give the Warriors a lot of fits in their in their series. And later in the week, when we get to hump day, you know, you come back to, because we only have a handful of teams, you come back again to the East semifinals with the Heat and the Sixers and then the Suns and the Mavericks. And it's funny, I've been watching this Winning Time about it's on HBO, and it's about the Lakers and the years when suddenly the Lakers became Showtime. And it brings back interesting memories. I was too young to, I was just at that age where I wasn't yet too young, but I wasn't too old. Like, in other words, I wasn't a teenager. I wasn't in those years. And watching Showtime and just reliving this has been really interesting, because I covered the Lakers in the later years and was beyond the Magic time, and it was more of the Shaq time. And it's been really fun to watch that series. But it made me think about watching pro basketball and how much excitement goes into the postseason, and so much goes on behind the scenes that people just don't even realize what's happening. Don't even realize it. So while we're in the playoffs in the NBA, here in Major League Baseball, and we're getting to that time where it's getting more interesting, I think. I mean, it's always interesting to me, but more interesting when you can watch the patterns that some of these teams are developing, right? And watching for injuries and watching for suspensions and watching for all kinds of different things to kind of emerge in this season. And I was looking at the Yankees, and the Yankees, all members of the Yankees active roster, were allowed to cross the border into Canada for that 3-game series in Toronto against the Jays that started tonight. And
here's the thing, Aaron Boone, the manager, said, this is what I hope for, and we're lucky we're in the position that we're all here, because they had to be vaccinated. Canada's government requires a person that to have a second vaccine dose or one dose of Johnson & Johnson at least 14 days before you enter during spring training. Aaron Judge refused to directly answer even a question about his vaccine status. So Boone said he would speak to unvaccinated players to stress the importance of being available for games against the Blue Jays this season. Obviously, those conversations worked because there have been other teams where they haven't been full roster because they have players that wouldn't get vaccinated. But, you know, you don't think of that. But, of course, you're traveling into Canada, and them's the rules for Canadians. So if that's the rule in crossing over, either they get vaccinated or they get left behind. But when you have superstar players that get left behind, that gets tricky because you got to have, let's face it, you got to have your full lineup, right? And you want every arm on deck, too. So it becomes a battle of, yikes, is this, you know, we want to win this series, and what do we do if we don't have all our best with us? And especially, like I said, this is the time where you're seeing if you drop too many games and too many series, that starts to hurt you right before you get to the All-Star break. And then when you come out on the other side of the All-Star break, you're playing catch-up. And catch-up is the place you do not want to be. Because if you are playing catch-up, there's such a great chance that you can, you can fall behind and never, ever, ever, ever really catch up enough that you're just always on that cut line of, are you going to even make the playoffs or not? And they add up. Those series add up after a while. So that's the spot, like I said, that's the spot that you do not want to be in. Coming up a little bit later this week when we hit the man cave, we, of course, are going to talk about the Kentucky Derby. Because, yeah, brum-brum-brum, it's Derby time, my favorite time of the year. I got to talk about John Rahm. He is so fun to watch. And John Rahm hung on for a win at the Mexico Open. He fended off Tony Finau and Brandon Wu. I watched the tail end of this. Please, jokes aside, but it was fun because, I mean, you're golfing in Puerto Vallarta. It was just been fun to watch him, and I like when he was asked a question about, at the end of it, he was asked the question about, well, did you just, hunker down, and this was so great, and did you know, just psych yourself up pretty much, and not, they didn't use those words, but to get the win here, and he said, every time I go out, I think I'm going to win. That's how I play. And I was so honest. I was like, oh, I love it. And Rahm's last win was actually at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines last summer. So he really pumped his fist when he holed a 12-foot birdie putt on the par 5 18th. He finishes 3-under for 68. And he that was a key stroke. And so, of course, he did well. He had a couple of eagle chances, and he had a reachable... One was definitely reachable, and he had to settle for birdies, and he drove into the water. So, when the wheels come off a little bit, then you start to kind of watch that leaderboard. He has to admit that. He had to be looking at the leaderboard. But he's a fun player to watch. He's like the everyday guy. And seeing him win was pretty, I would say it was pretty special. And by the way, if you're a hockey head, we, of course, have playoffs in hockey, too, as well. And I know there are people out there that like the stick and the puck. So it's been fun to watch that. I think I've talked about my uncle playing hockey when I was a kid. He was a goaltender for the Philadelphia Flyers. So hockey was very, very big in my family. My brother skated for the Little Flyers, and it was so it was like a tradition that we would watch certain games. So you got the Jets and the Kraken. I love the name, the Kraken, which is Seattle's team. The Jets beat the Kraken 4-3 on over the weekend. And then you have a full slate coming up this week, which we'll talk later about, coming up with so many other teams that are going at it, like the Bruins and the Hurricanes. That's the game one, which we talked about before, Lightning and the Maple Leafs, too, as well. Lots and lots of fun to watch, Stick in the Puck. All right, Man Cave is closed. Thanks for listening. We're finishing out next.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Joins us, and he's written a book called Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl. Randall, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. I'm more than happy to talk to you.
So you don't know this, but I love owls. I'm just drawn to owls, and I think a lot of people are. I've recently even had one fly into my backyard. But this is very specific. Snow owls are beautiful. What drew you to writing this story?
A friend of mine called me in 2010, and high school friend, and reminded me of the 40th class reunion, and I hadn't been to one yet, so I kind of felt like, okay, I better go. But he also told me that we have a high school webpage, and so I went on the webpage, and I started writing things that myself and some of my friends got up to, and of course I embellished them just a little bit. And the response was overwhelming. All of my classmates said, "You need to write a book. You need to write a book." And that's the first time I'd ever even thought about writing anything. And then later on, that happened the first part of 2010. December of 2010, my son called me and said, Dad, I have some ideas for a book. Let's write a book. So I thought, okay, you don't have to ask me three times. Here we go. So we got started. My son helped me do some research, and then his business took off. And he called me like in March of 2011 and said, Dad, I just can't help you no more. I don't have the time. It's, you know, you're going to have to do it on your own. So I continued with it. And this is my first book. And the reason I went ahead and wrote the book is because it fit into my right brain. When I was a kid on a farm, I was raised on a 2,000 acre farm and ranch. That's where my imagination developed, because I was out there on a tractor all by myself with no cab, no air conditioner, no radio, no power steering, just me and the Texas Panhandle horizon and skies. Texas Panhandle doesn't have any trees unless you plant them in your yard. And that's where my imagination took off. You know, I rode around in that big field on that tractor all day long, just making up stories in my head, imagining things. And I still have that childhood imagination. I have the mind of a 10-year-old, the body of, well, it's more than 10. But
wow.
That's kind of how it all got started. Now, when I was in school, and I had to work hard to do this first book, because when I went to school, I went to school to make friends and have fun. I didn't go to study to learn. I was a C minus an F student and just got by grace, I guess. But it caught up with me in high school, because when it was time to graduate, or the beginning of my senior year, the principal called me in to his office, which wasn't unusual because I spent more time there than I did in the classroom anyway. And he said, Randall, we have a problem. Said, you're a senior and you want to graduate, correct? Well, of course. He said, well, you've only passed one semester of English. And so my senior year, when all my classmates were having an easy schedule, I took 3.5 classes of English.
Wow.
Yeah. And only passed it with some help from my girlfriends and the grace of God. And I actually started learning English sentence structures and all that stuff in college. And the only experience I ever had of writing was writing essays in college and writing research papers in graduate school. And so here I am, kind of like Jack London. I'm reading and doing a lot of just reading and research of how people write. But I also have this little grammar book that I'm studying so I can write sentences and, you know, put thoughts together on paper. And I guess the biggest help to me in writing this, typing out this book was spell check. If it wasn't for spell check, I'd be lost.
Wow. So you do this book. What a great story. I love the story of you being out there for hours on the tractor and your imagination just growing. I mean, what a gift that is. So now it leads you to the book, Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl. Tell us about the story.
Okay. Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl is a mysterious and magical action-packed adventure fantasy. It's set in the 19th century, and there is a shadow war where Samuel's father, Pietro, is wounded in a historic battle, and he receives a land grant. And he and his princess bride, Ella, they relocate near the enchanted Black Sea, and Samuel is born in a cottage near the haunted southern forest. Now, deep in that forest, there's a bog. And in the bog, there's mysterious shadow fog. It transforms animals in the forest into dangerous and deadly shadow creatures. Now, as a child, Samuel and his best friend, Teddy, they find solace and serenity in the forest. And Samuel talks to animals, listens to the singing river, and carefully stay one step ahead of the shadow monsters that are also in that haunted southern forest. Now, when the shadow creature's aggression escalates, Samuel befriends an old man named Nikolai of the Caves. He's an eccentric time-traveling wizard, and he has an old hound named Wolfkiller. And he also meets and befriends the legendary Snow Owl, which they will all help him in the battles that are coming. Now, Samuel's childhood sweetheart, Katia, receives a magical crystal just as the cosmic battle erupts on Devil's Island. And Samuel receives one also. Now, with very little training, they use their newly enhanced powers to battle these monsters. And only time will tell whether they can fend them off long enough to embrace an extraordinary destiny.
Wow, what a fascinating story. What do you hope people take away from reading Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl?
I hope they're inspired by the story, because it is a struggle against good and bad, light and darkness. I kind of like the way, if you will allow, Kirkus Review, you know, they're the big hitters when it comes to book reviews.
Sure.
Their review said this: this debut historical fantasy sees a Russian family in the dark forces in the wilds near the Black Sea. For his series opener, Stevens offers a fantasy focusing on primal good and evil that should enhance fans of The Lord of the Rings. The first volume's magical crescendo should create loyal readers who will return for more fantasy tale-styled grandeur.
Ooh, high that praise. Nice. Yeah. That's sums it up in the way you were very descriptive in talking about the story. We just have like 30 seconds left or so. Will you do another book?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I've already finished book two. I'm going back through it, kind of developing it and tweaking it to make it, you know, better. And book two is probably going to be called something like Samuel and the Dark Prince. And as much action and adventure as there is in book one, there's more in book two.
Ooh, well, we look forward to that. For this book, Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl, you can pick it up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Randall Stevens, thanks for sharing your story.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you for allowing me to.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.